At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. Sirius, let me say the word radio is properly. Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80 and your smart speakers and your podcast. Download the podcast. That's always good when our podcast numbers are good, which they are. Guys, the Cowboys and the Saints kicked off week 13, but it capped off a busy day in the NFL. Good morning, by the way,
for the 12th time.
Yeah, for the good 9 morning. O'clock. The
happy 9 o'clock hour.
Happy 9 o'clock hour. Top
it
of the
looks
hour.
Looks nice too. And bright and sunny out there. Think I can get another tan?
It's gonna be warm today. Yesterday.
What's warm? 48 degrees.
Yes.
Now
40 or 50 degrees is warm.
This is the worst part about the cold weather in New York. It's not even the cold weather, because you can always like battle Jack Frost and feel good about winning that, right? You bundle up. It's that you can't get any color, man. I start to get to be a, like, I see it on ESPN. I see it on ESPN too. I start to get to be a, like, a greenish, sallow, kind of sickly looking. Oh.
In other words, what you're saying is, you can see a lot of things on ESPN, too, when we're on television and our monitors, because I look really purple from getting a
because you've been
sun.
In Cali, yes. You've been. It's apparent you've
I'm
been in California.
Purple. Don't you worry. You're not going to say it. I get it. I'm saying it.
It's not even right. I should be the one getting the tanning. You should be in the cold weather.
I don't know, man. I don't know. As soon as the sun hits me, no matter where I'm at, I can literally be in the sun for 5 damn minutes, and I
change up just
I
like
just
that.
Change color quick.
Yeah, I tan easily,
but
too.
But I'm very...
when I'm in the sun.
But I'm that's like because I'm starting from a from
I'm a
certain
real
point.
Reddish. I get to be reddish dark, though. I don't, you know, I'm not like one of them
is
smoke
blacks. Indian? Indian that you
no,
have in you?
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. It's just, I don't know, it's something with the sun in my skin. But it makes me glow, like shiny, and I kind of have
sun
a
makes,
certain look.
Sun just makes you feel good, too. You know? I know it's dangerous. You need sunscreen and all that. And I get it, but
outside.
We evolved on Earth sunscreen. Under the sun the whole time. I mean, it makes you
See,
feel good.
I don't use sunscreen.
Yeah, I
never
yeah,
have.
I can't.
I didn't used to. I have to now, or I get all red and everything. I got
look
to.
Look like a lobster?
Yeah, just as I got older. I don't know. Maybe I was in the sun too much without it, but yeah, I have to now. Anyway, that's the kind of talk you get on the East Coast this time of year. Adam Schefter on SportsCenter with the great L. Duncan reported this about what happened with Antonio Brown.
The league, the investigation from the NFL and the NFLPA turned up that Antonio Brown brought a fake vaccination card to training camp, although he was warned about it and then quickly vaccinated shortly thereafter.
So it's a 3-game suspension because he shows up at training camp with a fake vaccination card.
I know, you don't want to laugh, but it's like, come on, man.
AB. You know, Jay, I think you made the point in the first hour of the show that, like, you know, the Super Bowl seemed to wash away any beef people had with AB. There's no tonic like that. There's no disinfectant
his head down,
like that.
He lived with Tom Brady.
And you won.
He was just doing it the right way. Won a championship.
Won a championship.
He's like,
that's
man,
what people start remembering.
We were having a conversation. They're like, guys, when's the last time we heard something about AB?
Nothing
like,
bad. And he shows up with a fake vaccination card. Now, he only wound up getting 3 games. Guys, I'm with that, and I'll tell you why. Because when someone took him aside and said, yo, AB, what are you doing? What are you, crazy? He went and got vaccinated. Now, I know that doesn't take away the fact that he messed up in the first place, but I do think it's important to show people, to set an example. Look, it's never too late to do the right thing. We are going to show some leniency in the punishment because you did the right thing. Here's 3 games, like, for example, instead of the rest of the season. I like it. I think it was appropriate. I think they got it right.
It's funny, though, because it doesn't really matter to me if he missed the whole season, half the season, no season. That's not really, I don't really care about that. What I care about is the continuous mistakes that he continuously puts himself in, the bad decisions, the choice of decisions. When you have a history of problematic things that come into your universe, I mean, I could run a whole list off, but the cryo chamber with the feet in, overseas in Europe, the videotaping of the speech, which part?
The cryo chamber.
The videotape of the coach's speech in a locker room that you put on a social media when he's talking about not doing certain things on social media. It's like one thing after another. The alleged not paying your chefs, the throwing of the chair out the condo windows in furniture out in Miami.
I forgot about that one.
The beating up of the moving company guy. Mm-hmm. Just all the different things. So you're never going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Know what else? Here are two of them that tell you something about AB. He put something on social media with one of his with an ex, right? And he also put one on social media about Juju Smith-Schuster. This is what bothered me about it. Any sane person would look and be like, yo, AB, that makes you look bad. He thought it made him look good. Right.
So clearly his, like I said before, Jay, clearly his decision making and choices in which he does these things, he just doesn't comprehend what's going on. Because if it's me, I would know I have a jacket, and the chances of me getting away with trying to get a fake vaccination card, walking you to it. It's like, here's one for you. I'm going to go through the airport with a loaded gun knowing damn well I'm walking through the scanner. Like, you got to be a damn fool to think that that's okay, and you know it's in your bag. And they're going to be looking at you. And you're going through with a scanner. Like, you know that they're going to check your bag.
But who was it?
No.
Wait a minute. Who was
you
it?
You got to be a damn fool. It's who? Like AB, though. Max, you know
basketball player?
They're going to be looking at you because you're not the type of person that would just go to a doctor and get a vaccination.
Dude, there's a perfect analogy. Wait, you just said it. It triggered it in my brain. There was someone, I forgot which sport, going through an airport, had weed in a thermos. Now,
it was
understand,
a basketball player. It was in New York. It was at LGA. I forget
understand,
the name.
Yeah. They have to check the liquid containers. He put it in a container that they had to check. Like, it's something like that, right? They're going to be looking at
yes,
you.
Yes, they're
going
to be looking at you because your history shows that you do things that make people look at you and don't trust your judgment and those sort of things. So the moment that you get someone telling you, hey, that's probably not a good idea, and then you go and get the vaccination, fine. But what you could have done to save yourself all this trouble was just say to yourself, I'm not vaccinated. I want to play football still and follow the protocols. It's that simple.
Max, the guy you're talking about was D'Angelo Russell.
It was D'Angelo Russell. And by the way, you know why it reminds me of it, Jay? Because D'Angelo had a bunch of issues with the Lakers doing some stuff that showed poor judgment, to be kind, right?
It was why he was in Brooklyn, yeah.
It's why he was in Brooklyn. Then he gets to Brooklyn. It's like, yo, D'Angelo, just think things through.
See, two things. Number one, I really wonder who AB has around him to help him make sound decisions. Because as soon as this whole thing came up, whoever those people are, that's like, yo, AB, you can't do that. You can't afford to do that. So first off, who's in his circle? Number two, guys, I think falsifying a vaccination card warrants more than 3-game suspension. But I really have a hard time believing in anything warning from a suspension perspective that the NFL does. I really do. Like, I just, there are a lot of times, like, I watch these things, I'm like, and I can go through the litany, I won't do it. But there are a lot of questionable decisions when I see the league, when they come down on things like this, where I'm like, all right, like, that's the right thing.
Yes,
I don't really trust in the NFL doing the right thing when it comes to these type of suspensions.
Some of the things are a little weird because they really didn't, I mean, they fined Aaron Rodgers, but they didn't suspend
Bend him.
Even though he didn't come up with a fake vaccination card, he kind of misled, which to me in the end of the day is all kind of the same thing. Only one is a federal offense opposed to not being a federal offense, but the feds handling that, not the league, but you still deceived the league by saying you were
immunized.
It's just like, yeah, so they pick and choose how they want to do certain things. Back to AB, though, I don't know that he knew the protocol rules from the NFL. I don't know that. I don't know that he did. Let's assume that he didn't know.
Key guys,
he didn't know that if you had a fake card that you would be disciplined, suspended, and it would be a federal case, potentially. I don't know that he knew that. I would think that he just thought, oh, I get a card signature like everybody else out in the normal public. You know how many fake cards are out in the public?
Yeah, a kid with a fake ID.
Man, it's all tight. Yeah, it's
people running around left and right. This is Antonio Brown, though. This is not, like, you're just not some kind of Joe Schmo off the street that gets caught. You know, like, you're Antonio Brown. You're a big star.
Yeah, it's the type of thing where if it was a college kid or whatever and they were on a fake ID, but if they'd been in trouble 50 other times, you'd be like, maybe don't do the fake ID. Maybe you don't do the fake ID. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go from the NFL to the college game.
They're playing the 85 Bears, and so if their offensive line doesn't get a lot better.
You see the eye test, you see Alabama struggling, kind of hobbling in after the Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Then what we've seen so far, Bryce Young better get ready to run.
David Pollack with us now. This is Georgia's fight song for Pollack, who early on in this year said, hey, this defense might be better than any defense I was on, any defense I've ever seen, period. And David, you might have been right.
Interesting fight song.
Man, it's first of all, it's a great fight song. second of all, it's filthy. It's the dirtiest thing I've seen. You know, you want to know a good stat. If Georgia leads the nation in scoring defense, if you doubled it, they still would lead the nation in scoring defense. Oof. That gives you an idea of how dominant these dudes are. You talk about the defensive front seven. Six of the seven guys will be first or second round draft picks. Like, it's a filthy group, man. And then it's also a good team. I mean, you look at the offense, you look at the defense. The offense, you know, there's not a standout running back, but they got three guys that are putting up great numbers. You know, there's not a standout wide receiver, but you got a bunch of guys that have stepped up and made plays. So it's been a special year so far, but here's what I know as an ex-Georgia player, as a Georgia sports fan, we got a lot of scars, bro. We got a lot of scars. We've been here. We've done that. We've had leads. Like, so I don't think there's any Georgia fan that are going, oh yeah, this is it. This is going to be a beatdown. I think this will be a very competitive, good game.
And so when you say very competitive, good game, David, I go back to the Tennessee game, and in particular the first half against Tennessee. Tennessee gave them all they can handle. And I question and I worry about Georgia's defense really being tested by a potent offense, because I think Alabama's offense is still potent. And that secondary in Georgia is not, I believe, as good as advertised.
Yeah. I would say that it's not elite. You know, there's a bunch of guys back there, I think, that are really good football players, but it's not a secondary that's like locked down, or even, you know, like last year when they had basically two first round corners. But you say that about Tennessee and it was 41-17, you know, like, I think we've seen that, but listen, they'll drive the football some. But the problem is, can you get sevens in the red zone, which they don't give up, you know, and they don't. Alabama's a team. If Alabama doesn't change who they've been throughout the whole season, which you know as well as I do, you can't really do that in a week. If they don't change who they are, they're not going to come in here and have success, because their right tackle and center, they're rotating back and forth, not good. Their offensive identity and who they are, they don't know who they are. What they should be is an under-center team that can play action and have some success, but they're not. They don't run the football great. Their chance is defense. And you know, Georgia's got the best tight end room in the country, and it's not even close. They got the best guy, period, Brock Bowers, who's a super freak. He's been unbelievable. And then they got Darnell Washington, and they got Fitzpatrick. They got three tight ends that could play for just about anybody in the country. So I think that the matchup is the two tight end sets, the three tight end sets, where Georgia feasts on everybody. Alabama's really good. They're second in the country against two tight end sets. They don't let you just line up and pound them. They got a good plan for that. They're more when you motion, when you shift, when you throw the ball, you can create explosive plays.
David Pollack, ESPN college football analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. DP, I got to ask you, so if Alabama were to lose this game and they have two losses, what else would need to occur for them to actually have a chance to be in the CFP?
I don't – listen, okay, so we're going to talk – UC would have to lose to Houston. You're going to talk – Oklahoma State would have to lose to Baylor. You're going to talk – Notre Dame can't lose, by the way. That's impossible because they're not playing this weekend. I mean, that's the chance. You'd have to see, you know, those kind of upsets. And still, I still don't know that – I mean, Michigan would have to lose to Iowa. So every favorite this weekend would have to go down for them to even be talked about in the conversation. I just don't – I don't see it. I don't see it regardless. If Alabama has two losses, I don't think there's any way you get them in the playoffs this season. Listen – they haven't been like previous Alabama teams. If you look at the last 6 years, not 2 years, guys, not 1 year, the last 6 years, Alabama has played three games that were within 7 points. They played four this season. So this isn't the level of dominance they've had in the past. So I don't think it would matter. I don't think Alabama, if Alabama loses, they're out of the college football playoff. Mm.
David, if Cincinnati takes care of business, obviously, against Houston, you know, Houston's 11-1. That's a, you know, different conference, AAC, but not a power five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they take care of business, do they get a spot? Do they get a spot in the four, or are they going to be left outside looking in for whatever weird reason?
I don't think it's guaranteed. You know, they easily could have moved Cincinnati up over these last, you know, several
so why,
weeks.
So David, so why even have them there right now? And then if you're not, like, what changes between last week and this week if you got them in the spot and they win?
Okay, so let's evaluate this. So if Georgia wins, this scenario right here. If Alabama wins, they're in. Georgia's in. If Michigan wins, they're in. You got one spot left now. So if Oklahoma State beats another top 10 team in Baylor, again, that's three now top 15 wins on their resume. Their resume is better than what UC's done for the totality of the season, but they're not undefeated. So I think that's the scenario where, you know, they got to cheer against Alabama because that I think that's the biggest hurdle for them not making the CFB. But, you know, if it came down to Oklahoma State and Cincinnati – we have precedents for this, actually. If you go back to 2014, TCU was in the mix. They were in the top four last ranking. What happened? You know, Ohio State wins the Big Ten. Ohio State jumps them. TCU's on the outside looking in. So I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion, but if UC handles its business, I do. I think UC is going to be in the college football playoff.
All right, so Dave, the Heisman Trophy is still up for grabs. Who do you see as the favorite coming into this weekend?
I got no clue, bro. None. I mean, it's
wild.
Dark. I mean, it's just it's a crazy year. It's interesting that it takes this much for everybody to actually consider a defensive guy because it's kind of like there's not a – think about it. There's the Georgia team is a team. There's not an individual at quarterback or at running back that is – or wide receiver or somebody that's really like – killing it, so they're not, you know, they're not considered. You know, Alabama's struggling more than normal. Ohio State's got two losses. Michigan doesn't have a guy that you point to. So it's a strange year because most of the time people don't vote for outstanding player like you're supposed to. People vote for the best player on the best team or the team that's doing great. It drives me absolutely bananas. But this is a year Will Anderson very much in the mix. Aiden Hutchinson in the mix. Both those guys, defensive players. To me, Kenneth Walker has been a player that I've looked at throughout this season, the totality of the season. The dude's a stud. So he's still in the mix, you know, for me on my ballot. But I think this is a game that if Bryce Young goes out and beats Georgia and plays phenomenal, he's got a chance to make a statement. But everybody who has an opportunity that I just mentioned that has an opportunity this weekend to show out, those guys have an opportunity to go win this thing.
So this is the last weekend that people get an eye on anybody?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, this is the last weekend. Then you have to have your Heisman vote after the championship weekend.
Okay.
So, now, listen, Key, there's some people that's already voted, which drives me crazy as a voter. I'm like, what the heck are you doing, dude? Like, let's finish the season out before we start voting.
I want to come full circle with you, David, because early in the year you were on this Justin terrific new show on ESPN, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Weekend. Is it still a new show?
And
is it still new?
Yeah, 3 months.
almost
3 months. It's very new, very new. So, David, and you early on were like, this might be the best college defense of all time, right? You just mentioned six guys out of maybe seven in the front seven who were going to be first or second round draft picks. Filthy, right? You look at the numbers. Do you still feel that this could be, I guess, what's the greatest? Alabama from what, 2011 or something like that? There are a bunch of them.
I get what Pollock is saying, but it's a lot of teams.
But do you feel that way? Do you still feel, David, they could maybe be the best defensive football? I mean, listen, they'd have to win a championship to do it. And going undefeated would be even better. But do you think they're still in contention?
100%. And maybe let's not go best. Let's just go most dominant. I mean, because if you want to go by the numbers, that's something that this team is going to hang their hat on. Also, you took a first-round pick off of this roster because he got in trouble in an off-the-field situation that's not even playing. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, Adam Anderson got kicked off the team late in the season. So you take that into account, too, of how – dominant. But listen, it's dominant. People have had limited success against this unit, but nobody can score. Nobody can do can put up great numbers. Nobody's put up more than 17, guys.
Yeah, when you hit me with the 41-17, see, I watched the first half of that Tennessee game, and I was like, oh, yeah, they might pop them. And then I turned it back on. It was 41-17. It was like, oh, well, okay, so
and
much
that's
for that.
They just supplicate you, man. They make you earn everything you get. And if you want to, you know, the tempo, that's why I think Alabama needs to come out with a little tempo, because the tempo did bother Georgia early. And you could see Tennessee drove down and had success. But then everything Tennessee got was just earned. And they're going to make you – and, you know, to go the length of the field, Key, consistently without a penalty, without a negative play, without a sack, it's just – it's hard to do, and they do that. They make you earn it every single – and here's the thing. Another thing about this defensive unit that stands out to me. So you've already got two elite minds with Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning, who's up for jobs every single year. Two of the best minds on the defensive side of the football. Guys, they added Will Muschamp this offseason. That can't be understated at all. You bring in another guy who's seen absolutely every offense, has had to answer to every offense by himself for years and years and years. They got three defensive minds that rival anybody in college football in one room.
Yeah, and listen, that's David Pollock on the Goodyear Hotline, making some good points on that Georgia defense all year. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
Guys, I know just from my own kind, maybe I'm being a prisoner of the moment. If they win the championship and that defense, I think I'm going to say that's the best college defense I've seen in football. Like, I think of the 84 Hoyas for basketball, maybe. Like, those are just the team. I think of the Tampa team you were on that won the Super Bowl, Key, the Baltimore Ravens team. Like, some teams just stand out.
Miami Hurricanes with Ed Reed and them dudes.
No doubt.
Ridiculous. Warren Sapp and Ray Lewis and them dudes. I mean, it's some defenses
But everyone has their own teams that they see and they go, oh, that was the one. And this Georgia –
I mean, I can go – yeah, I don't want to go back in history, but
– maybe I'm being a prisoner of the moment. They've just been like,
yeah, the Ronnie Lott defenses at USC was crazy.
A Steelers Super Bowl champion is calling for Big Ben to go to the big bench.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, okay, J. Okay, Will, and Max. Okay. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. It has been a week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. First, they got destroyed
blitzed
by the Cincinnati Bengals. Then, Chase Claypool, the wideout, asked for music to be played at practice to make it more fun. And Mike Tomlin felt very sympathetic toward that idea and said, hey, yeah, maybe we should play. No, that's not what Mike Tomlin said. He said, Claypool, you focus on playing wide out, focus on coaching. That's a good division of labor. Anyway, Ryan Clark said on Get Up on Monday, he does not recognize the Steelers, and Tomlin sort of agreed. Well, now RC is saying that the team's future Hall of Fame quarterback needs to find a new spot.
I think it's hard to bench a legend. I think that's a very difficult thing to do. We saw that happen in New York with someone drafted in the same draft class in Eli Manning. I owe my Super Bowl ring to Ben Roethlisberger. With all that being said, time is up. It's time to move on. It's time to see what else you have in that locker room. And if you don't have something better in Mason Rudolph, if you don't have something better in Dwayne Haskins, then it's your fault, Pittsburgh Steelers. That's your fault for starting this season with the quarterback room looking the way it is. But for what it is right now, Big Ben can't take you to a Super Bowl. Big Ben can't help this team be better. Big Ben can no longer help the people around him grow. It's time for Big Ben to take a seat.
Before we even get to the validity of that remark, right, and analyzing it, RC starts out by saying, it's hard to bench a legend. Guys, did you have any thoughts? First, as soon as I heard that, I thought, yeah, it's so hard to bench a legend that maybe if you're the head coach, you need to take aside a former top player of your own who's now in the media and say, I might need a little help with this one. You know what I mean? Like, do you think that RC, and I'm not going to ask Ryan Clark this because that's the first thing that came to my mind. I wouldn't want to put RC in that position. But that's the first thing that came to my mind was he's helping out coach here because it is going to be hard to bench Roethlisberger, but they got to take a look at what they got.
No, coach didn't tell him I need a little bit of help. If anything, he's probably, because of the relationship, maybe he's had conversations that made him feel like they're headed in that direction at some point in time. Which means, like, man, I don't know what to do with this dude. You know, Ryan, man, we up against it. You know, I got to play this kid. You know, he's not giving us the best chance to win, but I don't want to bench him. It's just, you know, let's see how it goes. Maybe that's the conversation. And then Ryan, on his own, takes it and says, it's time to bench Big Ben.
Yeah.
I said the same thing, though, but not right now.
That's the whole key. That's the timing of it.
Once we get mathematically eliminated – now, because no matter what Big Ben looks like, I don't need him dropping back 41 times. I can go back to early stages of Big Ben, try and run the football, have him dink and dunk, smoke and mirror, screen it to death. A lot of what New England is doing with Mac Jones and a lot of what early Russell Wilson did in Seattle. That's what I would have to do over the next several games and let Ben play and see if he can hold the fork together until we are mathematically eliminated. Once we are mathematically eliminated, then I got to look at Dwayne Haskins because I already know where Mason Rudolph is. I need to see Dwayne in live, regular action with real bullets flying out.
You ain't got that many
weeks.
Preseason. But, Jay, here's the thing about the timing.
But you're
going
to be mathematically eliminated, like, soon.
That's the thing.
In a week.
That's the thing about the timing, Jay. RC was excellent. The kind of guy you wanted on your team on the field and in the media business. He's excellent in both places. And nothing he said, Jay, is wrong. Like, everyone will come to that conclusion independently. But the timing of it makes you think the Steelers really need to. They're trying to figure out a way to take a look at Dwayne Haskins. There's not that much time left in the season. They'd like to know what they have.
I just, for me, watching a legend, and I get that they're doing the right thing by standing by him to a degree. But the question is, I mean, does he give you – it seems like to me internally that Big Ben gives him the best chance to win ball games.
I think he does.
Short term. But if you're Mike Tomlin, I would have to expect a coach of his stature, which is one of the top coaches in the league, that he sees guys like Dwayne or he sees their backups on a day-to-day basis, Mason Rudolph. He sees them. He sees them. So until he comes out and makes a comment, like that's their decision internally.
I hear you, and that was the dangerous spot the Steelers were in. The Steelers were in a dangerous spot because you could see Ben. He never dinked and dunked before last year. All of a sudden, he's dinking and dunking to double-digit wins, right? So you could see where they're like, well, he's going to be the best option we got for now. We think Haskins has some upside. Rudolph at least knows the offense. That's our quarterback room, but as a third stringer, Rudolph. But they never really made a solid plan for the future.
Let me ask you a question.
Future is now.
I understand. Let me ask you this. Hypothetically, how would we react on Monday if Big Ben came in before the game and was like, you know what, Coach, I'm stepping down. I want to see you play the young guys. How would, at this stage of his career, how would you react, Max? I think I have a feeling on how I know what Key will react. I think. I'm not sure. We'll hear about Key. I'm curious how you
would. I would be very impressed, actually.
You would be.
Yeah, I would think, I would think like, wow, that is very, very rare that a guy says, you know what? I'm a member of this franchise for life and is competitive. Like the way I'm saying Nagy's looking out for the franchise with Fields, I would think, damn, Roethlisberger really ain't ever going anywhere but Pittsburgh.
Key?
But see, I wouldn't because he's not doing that bad. You can bring that in. You don't have to drop him back 41 times. You're dropping him back 41 times at this stage of the game. You're not going to win very many games.
Do you think they need to find out about Haskins?
Once we are mathematically
eliminated,
yes.
So next week, who they got?
They got Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens.
So yeah, mathematically eliminated.
So let the Ravens beat them.
I think
beat the Ravens?
Okay, but if the Ravens beat them, then you let
Will they be mathematically eliminated?
I'm not sure what the math
no,
is.
No, they're 500 right
but Max,
now.
Max, I think it would be negatively reflected upon Big Ben if he said, all right, you guys go with the young guys.
Like, I think most people would take it that
right
way.
Now.
I agree.
Not at this stage
Where's
right
the
now.
Competitor?
You're
right?
Still like, in it right now.
But what I'm saying is the Pittsburgh Steelers will not win a Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl last year when Ben
looked
better
than
they
did this
year.
No, they're not going to win a Super Bowl this year, no.
But it's not about Super Bowl, Max. It's about integrity,
man. And not only that, they not.
I agree.
And people don't tank. Coaches are coaching to win. They're not coaching to lose because you as a fan want them to lose to get a better pick. They're trying to win.
That's why my eyebrows raised when I heard RC, because I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Does Mike Tomlin want to do this now? That's why my ears pricked up. Wait, does Mike Tomlin want to sit Ben before the end of the year?
No, because Mike T wanted to sit him. He'd do it.
Yeah, we got a lot of former
Mike
players
T don't
out there
give a damn
about
no Big Ben and no historian and all that and no damn Pittsburgh Steelers.
I have a great relationship with Coach K. Everything that comes out of my mouth doesn't come from Coach K. It's related to Duke basketball.
Oh, no kidding. But that's what I'm saying.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Like you have to get a look at Haskins. You got to take a look at Haskins. Look, there are people, including Mike T was like, I think he still has high upside. I remember coming out of college. Like, think about Haskins for a second, guys. He played 1 year as a starter at Ohio State, right? 1 year in college. And he was awesome that year. And not only that, he got better and better as the year went on. Then he's immature. He messes up in the NFL. But there are evaluators who are still saying, kid can throw the ball. He can spin it. So don't you really need to find out if you're the Steelers before you make your plan in the offseason?
Well, you're going to still make a plan in the offseason regardless. But, yeah, you need to find out what he is once you are mathematically eliminated.
What if that's the last game of the season?
No, you'll know. You'll know. Because if you're mathematically eliminated the last game of the season, guess what? That means you won a whole lot of games from here on to the last game of the season. That means you are right there getting ready to win the division.
That's the whole problem with Tomlin. He's always going to make sure his team is too competitive.
Man, well, you
want
to win.
Time for the future.
It's a good thing. If I'm waiting till the last game of the year before I'm mathematically eliminated, that means I'm sitting in the 6th, 7th spot to win. You know, I'm right there.
But you know what it's like in basketball, Popovich? These kind of coaches, you're never going to, like, while you still have even a little bit of the old guy, Duncan or Roethlisberger or whatever, that coach, that level coach, is always going to make you competitive. So you're never going to get the high draft pick. You're never going to really make the future plan. And then you turn into the Spurs all of a sudden.
after all that dominance. You know what I mean? Like they have a little window here, the Pittsburgh Steelers do, to just wiggle out of this thing, find out what they got at quarterback, see if they need to make a move in the offseason.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
We've been speculating about Sean Payton. Reckless speculation. About Sean Payton, and is he going to be in New Orleans next year? Could he go somewhere else? And, of course, as a Giants fan, I'm hoping that's the Giants. Here's Mike Greenberg on Greeny, which is coming up in a few minutes here on ESPN Radio, about Sean Payton, let's just say, going somewhere that would make me happy. Listen.
He not going to Dallas. Because only one person runs the show in Dallas. And I know Sean Payton and Jerry Jones have a friendly relationship. They can buy each other bottles of very expensive wine, whatever that was. All right, Sean Payton's not going there to have Jerry Jones tell him what to do. I would be stunned by that. But if the New York Giants could offer him total control, he could be the coach and be the guy who cooks the dinner and picks the groceries and bring one of his guys in there to do the personnel stuff, and they could get Russell Wilson, you could turn that thing around like that.
Of course. You can do that. There's no question about it. I think if the Dallas Cowboys situation was open and he was available, he would certainly entertain it. Having a house in Dallas, coach for the owner, has a respect for the owner. You know, sometimes the owner can tell you it's going to be different. Don't listen to everybody else. It's different with me. You worked with me before, blah, blah, blah. Let's push them to the side, put them in the corner, though, the Dallas Cowboys. And let's talk about more of a realistic option, because the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy are going to win a division. They're going to go to the playoffs, and they'll probably make a strong run in the playoffs as they get healthy. The New York Giants are not going to the playoffs, so therefore they won't make a strong run in the playoffs. And the general manager most likely will retire. They probably won't fire him. They can retire him. And then at that time, they have to make a decision on whether or not the head coach is for the future in Joe Judge. Many people think that he's not, but who knows? If Sean Payton is available and he wants to come back to New York, you give him full autonomy to do whatever he wants to do, and you stay out of the way as an owner.
You know, you think about the Giants' offensive line's okay. It went from awful to okay. Will Hernandez is a problem, but they have some
still
pieces.
Still can't get over that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. They found him in the second round. I'm like, Will Hernandez still there in the second round? He's just been awful. But. The O-line is not the worst in the game. It's not one of the two or three worst in the game. Okay. Jay, if you bring Sean Payton and Russell Wilson with him, and you still have Saquon and all the receivers they signed, and you have a pretty good defense, by the way, Jay, you might be able to get Russell Wilson for Daniel Jones and a high first-round pick. You still have another high first-round pick to go get a pass rusher. Just like that, the Giants are back.
I mean, you're looking at a team that could contend for a Super Bowl.
Like in a year,
a quick turnaround. You're looking at them, you're like saying, okay, right now, if there is questionable coaching, we're still wondering that about Joe Judge, right? But in the NFC East, they're the second most talented team in the NFC East, right? Behind Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I'm thinking about this, just from a talent perspective, like where are they ranked just from a talent perspective in the entire NFC? Just talent.
They got some pieces in place.
Just talent. Key Green Bay. Would you say Green Bay's more talented than
Aaron Rodgers?
Okay. Dallas.
The Giants.
Tampa.
Don't have.
They're probably in the middle of the pack in terms of talent.
I'd say upper middle.
I would say upper middle.
Whatever.
Yeah, like in the middle bucket somewhere.
Okay, so
for
upper middle talent with a high end coach.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson
and
at
Russell
quarterback.
Wilson. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now you're in an upper
slot. You know, they got young pieces and slot cover corner and Darnay Holmes. You got Adoree Jackson, the safety.
Kenny Galladay.
You got on the offensive side. You got Kenny Galladay.
Blake Martinez has been hurt all year. He's their best linebacker.
You got Martinez, the linebacker. Get healthy. You got
Saquon.
Lawrence at the D-tackle. You have there Saquon. You got Tony.
Galladay.
Sterling Shepard.
Andrew Thomas.
I mean, Ingram is talented. He's just,
But yeah, you could probably do something with Ingram. You probably could move on from him and get another tight end in there. But you got enough body of work that you could be effective. But here's the problem. Here's what I would say. It reminds me of a team that I played on in 1996 that we had pieces in place. We had high-level draft picks and free agents. In came Bill Parcells. Now, I look up, and we won game in 1997 away from going to the playoffs. We were in the playoffs if we didn't make a mistake. The next year, we're in an AFC Championship game. The entire team felt like we all went to the Pro Bowl. We had Pro Bowl-caliber players on our team, but we were not put in the right positions. The guys that were not good, they got rid of. The guys that were good, they kept.
So you go from a one-win team to missing the playoffs.
Yeah, we went 9-7 that year, I think it was.
By a game to getting to the AFC Championship. Yeah, that's the thing about the NFL, guys. It happens faster than in any other sport.
Yeah, we made a few pieces changes. That's all we did. We swapped a few little bad pieces out for a few good pieces, and we was like, boom.
Boom.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have tried that halfback pass.
Probably should have tried the halfback pass.
Bring it up
with the Lions
in the 90s.
Wasn't on me, but it could be on me.
He brought up week 17. They decided they were leading the Lions. They decided to throw a halfback pass in the red zone
on like the 7 yard line.
And Leon Johnson threw an interception in the end zone
on like the 7 yard line.
The Lions got the ball back. Barry Sanders ran for over 2,000 yards. Jets missed the playoffs.
Yeah, but listen, you did get to the AFC Championship game the next year.
Yeah.
It happens fast in the NFL.
Giants, Sean Payton, you heard
please,
it here
Sean
first.
Sean Payton, please come to New York.
No, just kidding.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, we will be back Monday.
Have a good weekend, boys.
And until then,
call the board.
Jeez.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.